We all are amazed. Understand, in terms of the human mind and our conception of life and what's going on around us. Thursday night, we had a service here. It's called a Maundy Thursday service. It's in celebration of that time when Jesus was with his disciples before he went to the cross. And Thursday night, we sat, all of us who were here, around a single table. And we took time to share and to talk about the ways in which God has touched our hearts and our lives, ways in which we have seen him work in us that brings celebration and joy to our lives and our hearts. As we shared, it became very evident that there have been many miraculous things that have happened in our lives that we just simply can't understand outside of the realm of God's miraculous work. For Margaret and me and our family this week, we have had one of those kinds of events that has happened. Many of you who have been on the prayer chain here know that Matt and Amber's daughter Sterling had seizures. It's about 2 weeks ago now. And in the morning, and when they got up, they went in to find Sterling in her bed, unresponsive. They took her to Salina, to the ER, and her neurologist who is in Salina and the doctors there worked with her for a bit and could not get the seizures stopped. And so they sent her to Wichita. In Wichita, they admitted her to the ER and then to ICU, the pediatric ICU. And she was in ICU there for 4 days, totally unresponsive. They had put in a feeding tube. They were preparing Matt and Amber for end-of-life scenarios with Sterling. And then a miracle happened. She woke up. And the doctors don't know why. They don't know how it happened. It was a miracle. God came into that moment and that situation and did something that we just simply can't understand outside of the realm of God's acting. Now, when we come to the Bible, there are many of those things that we see in the Bible. What is helpful to me is seeing and knowing God's working today and now as I reflect on what God talks about in the Scriptures. Think of the miracles in the Bible. I'm only going to lift up a couple of them. Think of the flood, the great flood in which the whole earth was covered with water. Noah built the ark. Animals went into the ark. I still can't conceive of two of each animal going into the ark for those periods of time, those weeks when the flood was. A miracle of God. Think about other miracles. I think about when the Israelites went to cross the Jordan River. They were being pursued and chased by an army. And God stopped the flow of the river. And there was dry ground upon which the Israelites crossed the river. And once they were all across the river, and those who were chasing them were in the river, God let the waters come back and covered those who had been chasing them. A miracle of God. Think about the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. They were there for 40 years. And, you know, they were complaining because they didn't have food. You know, their backpack that they had put food in didn't last that long. And what did God do? God sent manna and quail from heaven every day for them. And they were fed. A miracle of God. Can't be explained otherwise. Think about all of those who were experiencing God's touch in their lives in all of those ways. Think of Daniel in the lion's den, if you remember that story. You know, Daniel had not done what he was told by the leader, the king at that time. And the promise was, if you didn't do that, you were going to be thrown to the lions. And Daniel was thrown to the lions, and God shut the mouths of the lions. God calmed those lions, and they did no harm to Daniel. The next morning, they came and found that he hadn't been harmed. They took him out, and then they realized, yo, this must be of God, what Daniel is believing and doing. And so they took those who had tattletaled on Daniel, and they threw him in the lion's den. And guess what happened? Those lions had a feast. God does miraculous things. As we come to celebrate Easter, we come to think about the reality, the truth of the fact that there was this man, Jesus, who came and lived on this earth. Think of the miraculous conception. You know, Mary had had no relations with a husband, but she became pregnant and had this baby. And they said, you need to call him Jesus. So that miraculous conception, that miraculous birth, was the beginning of what we today are celebrating in Easter. But that was just the beginning. So what was Jesus' like life? Jesus' life like? Jesus came, and he came as a person who was totally different than the other religious people of the day. He came and he taught what? He taught love, forgiveness, compassion, peace, rather than an eye for an eye, which had been taught, which was the rule of the day. Jesus taught something totally different, a miraculous kind of idea that came to the world through this Jesus. Then as we think about Jesus and all the miracles that he did, you know, there are so many of those listed in the Gospels. As you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see how Jesus responded to people, how he cared for people, and the miracles that he did. And then we come to the time of this week, this past week. This miraculous gift of God in Jesus Christ died. Think about that for a moment. Jesus has been walking in this world and been teaching these miraculous kind of truths that are renewing people's hearts and minds. And people are thinking, this is the Messiah. This is truly Jesus. This is the one God has sent for us to redeem us, to bring us life and hope. And he's dead. Died on a cross. They've taken him down from this cross. They've taken him, they buried him in a tomb that was given and provided for him. There was a stone rolled across the front of that tomb, and it was sealed. And they sent soldiers to stand watch so that no one would come and steal him away and then be able to say, oh, he really wasn't dead. And then we come to today. And I want to read from Mark, chapter 15, and verses 24 to 32. And they crucified him, dividing up his clothes. They cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of Kings, the King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, the King of Israel, come down. Come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on his head. Imagine if you were Jesus' mother and those other women who were at at the cross at that time and were standing back and watching, weeping, I'm sure, and they heard all of these things being said by those religious leaders, by those others that were observing and mocking Jesus, mocking him. And then we come to these verses. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling on Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." His eyes were opened. His eyes were opened even before the cross. Surely this was the Son of God. And then we come and we move on to chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified? He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell the disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. He is risen. But do we believe yet? Do we yet believe and understand? We've been told this. We've seen the empty tomb. But is there belief? And then we move on. We read these words. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to 2 of them while they were walking in the country. They returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons and speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. And they will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. And the disciples went out and preached the message of the gospel. This is what the Bible says. What do you believe? There's that seed of hope that began as just a small seed. That angel said to those ladies, "He's risen." There wasn't belief yet. They thought, "This can't be. No, it isn't possible." You see, there was this seed of hope. and then walking along the road as Jesus was walking with two men who were just on the road, and Jesus met them and walked with them. And this is actually, you know, in another part of Mark, that he was doing this, and this was told as he walked with them and talked with them, you know, and that's what we read earlier in the passage we read earlier, that as they walked together, you know, they didn't understand what was going on, and then they got to the house and he stayed with them and he prayed and offered them bread and their eyes were opened. You see, for those of us who come to faith and belief, there's a point in time that our eyes are opened. There's a point in time when we begin to understand the truth that is here. The truth that Jesus is the Messiah. The truth that Jesus is the one whom God has sent to bring salvation. The truth that God is who he says he is. There are many religions around the world, and yesterday, as Margaret was reading through some of the material that she receives and gets through email and Facebook, etc., you know, she was sharing with me some of the things that were written that were talking about, you know, Jesus Christ and God and then Muhammad, and talking about the reality that there are many people who believe that Muhammad is God. We know that that's not true. We know that that's not true because of historical writings, things in history. It is in the 300s AD that there are now manuscripts that have been found that were written that talked about Muhammad, who he was, and his life, and what he was, and the fact that what is Islam now, and that belief is something that simply came out of this man, Muhammad, as he began to teach and build this idea that he was God, and people built this idea, and then they built this whole religion around Muhammad. Muhammad was a man, simply a man, who experienced life, who taught. But it's very interesting, if you will go to those older manuscripts, if you will read those, you'll come to see and understand that he's simply a man that has ideas that he's putting out there. When we come to the Bible, when we come to scriptures, we have this history, this miraculous reality of who God is, this miraculous gift of God. Began with creation. How did it happen? Well, there are people that believe it just happened. We believe God was the one who created. We believe that God is the one who now sustains this world. You know, I cannot imagine in my wildest thoughts how anything that just happened could stay together and hold together for thousands of years. This morning, as I was back here and we're sitting with the young boys, we were talking, I don't know how we got on the subject, but we were talking about our bodies. Oh, we were talking about water and how much of our bodies is water. And so I went on the internet and found the statistics of what it is. And some of our body organs are more concentrated with water than others. And so we were talking about our body organs and the fact that there are times that, you know, someone has an organ that doesn't work, say a kidney. We were talking about a kidney. And we're talking about the fact that, you know, we have two kidneys, but sometimes people's kidneys don't function the way they need to. And so there are times that someone donates a kidney to someone who needs a kidney. And the reality that we can live with one kidney. How amazing it is, the miraculous reality of our bodies. Now, the doctors, we don't know why Sterling woke up. All indication was that she was passing, but she woke up. How is it possible that mankind, humans, have been able to come to the place where they can take a heart out of another person and put it in someone else, and that person lives? A kidney, and the person lives. Our God is the Creator God. Our God is the true God who sent His own Son, Jesus, into this world to bring us hope. Jesus is that seed of life that came miraculously in that conception of Mary, who gave Himself up even when He didn't want to. You see, Jesus is God's Son. Jesus is God Himself. God sent Him into this world to bring us salvation. Jesus in the garden went and prayed, and what did He pray? He said, "Father, take this away from me. Don't let it happen if there's any other possible way." But Jesus said, "I'll do what you ask." And Jesus gave His life. But that's not the end of the story. You see, today's the end of the story. God, the maker of all life, raised Jesus from the dead. Sterling was in the ICU for 4 days. They were thinking she was going to die. She woke up. Our God is a God of miracles. And the greatest miracle that He has done is that miracle of sending His one and only Son, Jesus, into the world, allowing Him to die on the cross, sacrifice His life on the cross, and then bringing Him out of that grave miraculously. And it wasn't just those two women who heard about Him. It wasn't just the two men who saw Him. It wasn't just the disciples. The Bible tells us that there were over 500 people who had interaction and contact with Jesus after His resurrection. And then there was a crowd of people that, as Jesus gave them this responsibility of going and telling the world about what happened, Jesus ascended into heaven. Hot air balloons go up. I don't think Jesus had a hot air balloon. Jesus just ascended. I don't think He had one of those air packs that, you know, they put on and you see the guys fly in the air. No, it wasn't anything like that. God took Jesus to heaven. So, what do you believe? What's your faith like? Where's your hope? Today is a day to celebrate hope. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's true. The truth is that Jesus Christ is God. The truth is that Jesus Christ died and rose. The truth is that God provided the resurrection. The truth is that God did that for us because He loves us so much. What do you believe? I trust that each one of us will give consideration to what our belief is, that we will take time to process, to think about this truth, this reality. I trust that each one of us will respond. One of the things that Margaret and I were reading yesterday and we were talking about was the idea of faith. Some people say, if you just believe, you'll be saved. Well, yes, faith and belief, but how do you know if you really believe? What's the evidence of belief? You know, there's some say they believe, but they go on living just as they have lived forever. They don't, there's no change at all in their lives. God tells us in the scriptures that those who believe are going to experience a change in their lives. Their heart is changed. There's a change within us that says, you know, I do believe that God is creator. I do believe that Jesus is God. There's this change, this attitude, this faith that comes that is in us. And then we say, yes, I believe. And because of my belief, I want to know what God wants for me. And that's what takes us to God's word. That's what moves us to say, I want to know. I want to know all I can. And I want to do because of God's miraculous gift, because of God's love, because of what Jesus did. And knowing that when we come to belief and when our lives are changed, when there's that evidence that can say to us, yes, my belief is true. It's not just something for the moment, but it's something for all of life. And our lives are changed, and we know that we have eternal life. When Sterling was in ICU and we were in Ohio and Pennsylvania and reading all the texts that were coming from Matt and Amber, and when people were beginning to pray, I came to the place where my prayer was, God, just be merciful. Not knowing what the outcome would be. Not knowing whether or not, you know, we might get a phone call or a text saying, Sterling just passed. My prayer was, God, be merciful. Folks, our God is a merciful God. By the fact that you and I are here today, it's an indication of his mercy to each one of us. He's giving us a little more time. Where are you? Where's your heart? Today, I put in the bulletin an insert that invites you to think about this. Invites you to make a change in your life if that's what you want to do. If you want to talk more to Margaret or me, our phone numbers are there and we welcome a phone call. But we invite you to come, to believe, to exercise faith, for which we do every day in many, many ways. But exercise faith in our Lord and our God. And we can help you with all of that. God is our Lord and our God. He is real, and his miracles are true. Pray with me, and then we're going to sing together. Father in heaven, this is your word, and it's true. We know that it's true because all of the things that we have experienced and seen ourselves. We know that it's true because of the ways in which you have touched our hearts and our lives. We know that it is true because your word is true. Your word has stood the test of time. There's no other book in all of history that stands with as much evidence of truth as the Bible does. Historically, it's perfect. And we know that that's true. So we come and we rejoice. And for those of us who know you and count you as our Lord and our God, we rejoice and we sing and we celebrate and we worship you, who is our Lord and our God. Lord, for any today who might not be there, I just say, Lord, touch their hearts. Holy Spirit, come and move and work. And that's all we can do. All we can say, Lord, be at work. And we would give you praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Stand with